Hi, welcome to Happier Ladies, a podcast where we discuss all things related to the Happier and Happier in Hollywood podcasts.
We're sisters
and super fans
who can't get enough happier.
So we created our own podcast to keep the conversation going.
I'm Malika Amandi, a SoCal native living in Western Massachusetts, a new mom and an entrepreneur. I'm here with my sister, Azizi Williams.
That's me. I live and work in the LA area. I'm a not-so-new mom, and I'm an education professional in the independent school world.
In this episode, we talk about how to overcome a happiness obstacle by being yourself, and we share thoughts from listeners. So, Azizi, last week, our podcast was released a little bit later than it usually is.
Yes. We're still finding our way.
We got some notes from listeners who were checking in to make sure that we were okay.
Appreciate that. Thank you for checking in.
So thoughtful and sweet. And for me as an obliger, oh my gosh, that's the worst. I feel like I'm letting people down. Not in a serious way, but I want us to be consistent to deliver because people are counting on us.
Well, I mean, that was our 26th episode. We're still figuring things out, but it's getting better every time. And you will get an episode a week. And we're looking for the right day when that will be. So just know that we're committed to once a week an episode, and we're going to find which day is going to be our consistent day. We just haven't found it yet.
Exactly. We will deliver within the week.
We will deliver. Yes. And thank you for being patient also.
And thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Have we ever said that? Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I appreciate you, listeners.
All right, Azizi, what happened on Happier recently?
On Happier, episode 474, Gretchen and Liz share the importance of tracking your venting habits. They talk about the challenges of SMART goals for rebels, and they share updates from listeners who took the Habits for Happiness quiz.
I thought that the conversation about venting was really apt and important because it certainly can throw a dynamic off if one person is always venting more than the other in a friendship. And it is like a necessary part of our human experience, being able to just talk about things openly and at length.
Yeah.
But I thought it was a good piece of advice to just kind of monitor how that's going. And it made me think of Marco Polo, the app, which I'm a fan of and have talked about in a previous episode, because it's a really good app for venting because the whole format is that you're giving a monologue, an audio monologue or a video monologue to somebody who's going to watch it. So it's easy to vent because you're not interrupted at all. And then on the flip side, it's kind of easier to take because you can kind of fast forward if you need to, or you can like set the phone down and kind of be doing something else if you need a little bit of a distance or whatever. And it's fine. You're still there for the person,
but not there. You could speed it up.
Right. Exactly. That's fine. It's totally allowed.
That's funny. Malika, you know, some people I've learned bond over venting. For some people, venting is a way that makes connections or that helps them connect with others, but not so much for me. Or back to what you were saying, what Gretchen was saying, it's good to make sure it's not a one-sided situation that you're always dumping on the other person, because like they said, that person who's receiving it has to figure out what to do with it or is just sitting with it. And that can be really hard.
Yeah.
And so somewhere else on this episode, I can't remember where, they talked about table settings. And do you remember where? I don't remember where.
Was that on Happier in Hollywood?
I think it was on both. It doesn't matter. Liz has shared before that she follows Facebook groups where table setting is the theme, and that she has watched table setting reality shows. And it just reminded me of that time we went to the LA County Fair. We were with our parents and my kids, and we stumbled upon the table setting competition zone, where they had all of these tables that were set up. They all had different themes, and they had been judged by how well they had set the table. And the judges' remarks were there so that you can read what the criticisms were for the table settings. And this was amazing because one, we didn't know it existed. Who knew what those rules were? And also that people compete for prizes and in competitions around the themes. So it was endlessly exciting to read the comments and to see like, oh, it was 2 inches. The tablecloth was 2 inches from the floor. And the place setting was too far away from the plate. Wow.
It was amazing because table setting is such a creative medium, which you don't necessarily think about. But I remember at that fair, there was like a Jurassic Park table setting, as if this table was like in the Jurassic Park theme park, or it was at a Jurassic Park theme party. I don't quite know the angle, but the table gave Jurassic Park, like in every single element, which is just like, oh my goodness, it's incredibly creative. And some of them were more abstract, some of them were more literal, but they all were ultimately dishes and, you know, cups and tablecloths and centerpieces.
Yeah.
But really just fantastic and fun that that's a hobby.
It is an art because it's a medium for self-expression in a way that before that I didn't appreciate. So I too have watched some of those reality shows. One of them, I think Martha Stewart was the judge. That was delicious. And that experience at the fair inspired me to think about my own table settings as well, particularly around the holidays when we're hosting and making sure that there's a moment on the table for folks who are coming. I love that.
You said a nice table is easy.
Thank you. Oh, wow. Thank you so much, Malika. I appreciate that. It's fun. I like to do it.
What else stood out to you in the episode?
So Gretchen shared a story about Eliza, I believe, and bike riding and how she set a goal for herself to go on a trip that involved a lot of bike riding, even though she wasn't a strong bike rider and she practiced and she did it and it was hard, but she accomplished it. And so that reminded me of the fact that I cannot ride a bike. I think I have mentioned this before in an earlier episode. It's come up. I just never learned, moved on to other forms of transportation and never looked back. And there have been a few times in my adult life where I've contemplated being on a bike or felt kind of what it would be like, but never really took it seriously. We also talked about the Fraser episode with the bike riding when Fraser and Niles try to ride a bike. That is hilarious. Anyway, my husband recently brought to my attention a class for adults to learn how to ride a bike that is in Venice. Ooh. You know, not so far away. It's like at a skateboarding shop or something. And you could pay to take this class where they teach you how to ride a bike. And I feel like he brought it to me in a very non-challenging way, just like for your information in case you ever want to have this. But now I feel like it's something I have to do. So the question is, do I wait till 2025 to put it on my 25 for 25 list? Or is this something I should challenge myself with sooner? We'll see. I'm thinking about it. But who knew that there were classes for adults who need to learn how to ride a bike? So I'm just putting that out there for anyone else who might be in this situation.
You're not alone. There's a community.
Clearly, right? I was going to say maybe, but no, not maybe. If they have a class, there are other people like me out there. Just, I've never met them.
That's great. Well, keep us posted. I think whatever you decide, I support you.
Thank you. Malika, thank you very much. I'll keep you posted. What happened on Happier in Hollywood?
In Happier in Hollywood, episode 358, Sarah and Liz discuss the process of writing their second draft of their novel. They ponder if they're having true fun, and they offer a trick to improve the look of your space. So this episode, so many good tidbits, and I am so excited for their book. I just want to read it already. I can't wait. I love hearing about their process and writing, and the levels of their own excitement are growing, which is fun. I mean, we don't know too much about it. We know that friendship is a theme and that it's kind of a thriller. So I think I want it. I want to pre-order it.
I wonder who they're going to pick to read the audiobook. They're so into audiobooks. So I know they'll be very thoughtful about who reads their book. But yes, I'm also excited for it. And I really appreciated Liz and how she shared that she gets overwhelmed by writing. And that she experiences imposter syndrome, you know, when she's thinking about writing a draft. And that was a revelation to me because they are writers. And Liz is a very accomplished writer. The fact that she also grapples sometimes with being overwhelmed was very inspiring to me because I feel that way about writing also. And I always just assume that it's because I'm not good at it or because I'm not a writer, but it will help me reframe that feeling of I am a writer, and writers get overwhelmed with the writing process sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I appreciated that.
Yeah, I think that's one of my favorite elements of their podcast in general is just the transparency about the aspects of their work and just pulling the curtain and demystifying what goes on. And especially because they're creating at such a high level, it's such a gift to be able to hear their insights week to week and how they're evolving and thinking about things and approaching things and how human it is.
Was there anything else from the podcast, Malika?
They shared a listener note who was thanking them for talking about fertility over the years in their podcast. The listener kind of shared that she wouldn't have thought about her fertility otherwise. And because of them, she decided to take actions in her mid-30s to kind of see what was going on. And anyway, it kind of led to a series of events that she was really grateful that she had had that reminder. And that made me think of my friend Maria's podcast. I want to shout it out. My friend Maria Pascarelli is co-hosting a podcast with Anne-Sophie Morissette called Our Families, Ourselves. And I'll read their description. Each week, elder millennial moms, Anne-Sophie and Maria, meet people who challenge the traditional notion of family forming and parenting. They explore the joy, the pain, and let's face it, dysfunction of creating a family. Adoption, IVF, surrogacy, child-free by choice, and more. These are our families told through our voices. So if you are thinking about starting a family or you're in that realm, you want to connect to other voices, it's a really great podcast. And yeah, I highly recommend it because often people just don't talk about these things, even though we are all come from families and it's such a normal thing, but it's amazing how much doesn't get discussed. So check that podcast out, Our Families, Ourselves.
I had a colleague who froze her eggs and it was a choice that she made. And, you know, she went through the process, which it turns out is quite an involved process. I didn't know much about it. And I thought there should be a party or some celebration for that act, you know, like that's a big step and it's an important step in your future. And I think it deserves a ceremony or some sort of celebration. So anyway, that's just my thought for that activity, for going through that process. There should be some way to mark it. Malika, the real question is, have you had true fun? And true fun, it turns out, is at least two of the three things: playfulness, connection, or flow.
Oh, I thought it had to be all three things.
I went back and listened to the definition that Sarah read, and it was at least two of the three, and if possible, all three.
I see. Okay. Yes, I do have true fun. It's not as common as I would want it to be, I guess. I feel like I'm rediscovering it, but I think definitely on my date nights with Norm, we went bowling last night. That was fun. I'm not good at bowling, but we had a good time. There was connection and playfulness. We do like little family dance parties sometimes with Indigo. That's fun. I think the biggest example of true fun was when I was really doing pub trivia.
Yes.
Consistently, like once a week or every other week, because it was a group of close friends that I felt really connected to. We were playing a game and we would get really competitive and into it, but we also didn't take it too seriously. And then there was like this very clear structure. So there was always a flow of the evening, you know, and time to talk and chat and catch up. And then you get into the game. It was nice to have a program. So that was true fun. Haven't found that quite in my new context. What about you?
Wait a minute. I have another question for you.
Okay.
Do you frolic? And frolic is defined by Merriam-Webster as to amuse oneself, make merry, to play and run about happily.
I think I frolic in a structured setting. So there was a dance class that I took for a while out here called Shake Your Soul, the yoga of dance. And the whole class was basically, there was some like choreography involved, but then there was a big chunk of time where you did like follow the leader, like you were a child.
Yeah.
That's totally frolicking because you're just like moving.
That's frolicking.
Having to copy your moves. That was actually.
Yeah.
And I just loved it. Sometimes it was just me and the teacher in the class. Like I still came and did it.
Were you following each other?
That was fun. And like so much of my grad school time was like this level of frolicking, rolling around on the floor, playing tag.
Right,
you know,
that's right. Frolicking. Your clown class. Exactly.
So I'm all about it. What about you?
Yeah. So it's interesting because frolicking, it's like being in your body. Yeah. It's like having fun grounded in your body because it says to run and play, like you're actually moving. So I think I do have true fun. I talk about Disney all the time, and it's not just Disney. We also do Universal Studios or, you know, other fairs mm-hmm. or amusement parks. And that is a physical activity. You're moving, you're, you know, sometimes you're running to get in the line or to catch the thing, the parade. Being on a ride yeah. is true fun. You're connecting with each other. There is a flow about it. So I would say, yes, I do have true fun. And it's important for me to balance out some of the seriousness that I have to deal with throughout the week and just in life. So I actually, true fun is my drug of choice. I actually need it. And another example was my friend Regan hosted an Oscar party. And at first I was like, this is not for me. I don't watch movies. Maybe I see 2 new movies a year. It's just not my thing so much. But she's like, no, just come. And wow, they put on a party. It was casual. It was a group of her friends. We were in her living room. The attire was sweats, like wear your sweats, she said to the party. And you had to predict who was going to win in all the categories. And you got points for, you know, if you got them right. They also had bingo. So everyone got a bingo card. You can mark off a space for someone thanks their spouse. Someone tells Funny. Their kids it's time to go to bed. Someone cries. So you're really watching it competitively yeah. to see if we could get bingo. And then during the commercial breaks, her husband made Oscar trivia. So he would get up and he would read some trivia and we would try to guess. So it just took the party to another level. And it was fun. It was fun to hang out and do this thing together. So definitely I look for true fun.
That's great. I think you are also really good at creating opportunities for true fun for others. I love that when you host a party, there's often like a craft element involved where you can just sit down and kind of be immersed in making something.
I think, again, it's getting out of your head and sort of doing something with your hands, mm-hmm. the engaging in something that helps to create that flow. And I love crafts because it doesn't have to be perfect. It's creative. It's expressive. And often they're seasonal, and that's a fun way to connect to the seasons and to each other. And I will say the other thing, up until very recently, bubbles. Just always have bubbles. It's just the secret is bubbles.
That's funny.
Because bubbles, it's delightful. Okay. And it's fun. You connect with other people. I don't know. There's something magical about bubbles. So I'll leave you with that. Sarah and Liz, just get some bubbles. Bring them to your next party. Okay, we're going to take a break, and when we get back, Malika's going to share a hack to help you get over a happiness obstacle.
And we are back. Our next segment is Happiness Obstacle, where we share circumstances that are getting in the way of our happiness. This is actually a hack to overcome a happiness obstacle, which is when you need to be your authentic self in an otherwise high stakes or uncomfortable situation. I'm thinking of a scenario kind of different from where you might want to be your most presentable or formal self, like in a job interview. I'll talk more and then you can ask me questions if this is clear or not, okay?
Okay.
So this hack comes from one of my grad school teachers. Shout out to Joe Hacker. And the advice was to use this when you are going into a situation where you're an actor, but you need to be yourself.
What does that mean, Malika?
Like in a commercial audition, for instance, sometimes there isn't really a character. Sometimes you just go in and they take pictures of you and ask you a couple questions on camera, and they're getting a sense of you, but you're not playing a part. But then that's how they decide who gets a call back and moves on to the next round. So you've really got to be yourself, but in a little bit of not even in a heightened way, just in a clear way. Mm-hmm. Or there's something called a general meeting where an actor can have the chance to meet with a network executive, for example, and there's no specific part or show on the table, but the executive is just getting to know the actor to keep them in mind to pass along to casting for something in the future. And again, there's no script or audition. You're not doing a monologue. It's just this kind of get to know you meeting.
Hmm.
But if it goes well, it could be really helpful.
Oh, well, clearly. What's the strategy?
The strategy is to take a piece of paper and you draw a line down the middle, not in the meeting or...
Should I do this while you're describing it?
Can if you want to.
Okay, I've got my piece of paper.
So you draw a line, and then on one side of the line, you make a list of the way you behave when you're around people that you've just met. So your mannerisms. Maybe you are polite. Maybe you don't laugh as much. Maybe you sit with your legs crossed in a certain way. Just thinking through, if there was a surveillance camera on me while I was meeting somebody for the first time, what would they see? What are the behaviors and mannerisms they would see? So you make a list of those. And then on the other side of the page, you make a list of your behaviors and mannerisms when you're around people that you've known for 20 years. So that could be your family members, your friends, but people who really know you, know you, know you. So what would the camera pick up if they're watching you with a 20-year friend? For me, some of my 20-year mannerisms, I tend to be a little bit loud sometimes. Maybe I'm not afraid to make weird faces or be negative sometimes or have a darker sense of humor. I tend to be like a cheerleader also to people I've known for a long time and really encourage and exalt them. So you just come up with this whole long brainstorm. And then the hack is to try some of those 20-year behaviors when you're with people that you've never met before. This is a very kind of context specific thing. You know, you might not want to do this in the corporate interview, but depending on your industry, for the entertainment industry, as I'm saying, there's some blurred lines there in terms of the energy that you're bringing into those situations.
So when are some times that you've used this outside of the acting world?
So I remember using this strategy when I was meeting Norm's friends for the first time. So when we were dating and, you know, I'm meeting all of his friends from grad school, oh, I want to be cool and likable, but also I'm who I am, but I don't want to be quiet or trying to be putting on a show. So this was a very good way to get into who I am. There was a situation a couple months ago where I was having to meet other parents at my son's school, like a potluck. You know, I'm hoping to kind of make some friends or connections, but it can be awkward when you don't know anybody. And so this is a good strategy for that kind of a situation as well. So Azizi, what do you think are some of your 20-year friend mannerisms?
It's a hard one. I had to really think about it because I want to imagine that I'm the same person when you meet me as I am 20 years from then, but that can't be true. So when I think about it, I think my 20-year mannerisms would be warmth, an easiness, open to sharing, and sometimes like enthusiastic about what they say. I get a little louder, you know, when I'm enthusiastic about making a connection with someone, definitely using humor and laughing. So those would be some of the things I think I would want to focus on if I want to feel like myself or if I want someone to get to know who I am quickly. I think I would focus on those things. What are yours, Malika?
So I also get really loud. Maybe this is a family trait.
That's loud right there. Our family meals are pretty loud.
I think it's funny because posture is one of those things that often we're working on. I don't know if you're working on it, but I think about it quite a lot. But when I'm with people that I'm really comfortable with, I don't have great posture. That's just something I notice. You know, feeling physically relaxed and maybe just at ease. When I'm with people who I've known for 20 years, I don't let people off the hook on questions like, how are you doing? I ask, you know, how are you? And they say, oh, I'm good. And I'll be like, well, how are you really doing? Like, tell me what's going on.
Yeah.
Whereas if it's someone I just met, you know, you just kind of go along with those niceties and don't pry or ask again.
Yeah. You gloss over again, back to your body, just how you hold yourself is interesting. Holding yourself with someone that you've known for a long time, you are going to be more relaxed in your body and a little softer maybe.
So try this out. 20-year friend hack. Let us know how it goes for you or if you have a variation that you'd like to share.
Our next segment is Inbox, where we share tips and reflections from listeners. We've got some excellent suggestions from our listeners, and we wanted to share a few of them with you. Thank you so much for reaching out and giving us these suggestions. Malika, do you want to get us started?
Yes. In episode 25, we asked, what was your third place? So the place you love to spend time that's not your home or your work. Michelle K says she loves going to the movies, so hers is the movie theater.
Georgie says being near the river and a local music club run by volunteers. She said, saw a fun band there last night.
Janice says all libraries have this feeling for her and her local dance studio, where the owner is beautifully intentional about creating a welcoming and inclusive environment.
Amanda says the library, church, or running route I run regularly.
Kirsten says the YMCA.
Patty says mine is the beach.
And Mary says, I loved the Huntington when we lived in California.
I was just there today. Those are fantastic. Definitely resonate with lots of those. So we also got a few people writing in to share what their sport is. And if you don't know what that means, we talked about it in episode 20. So definitely go back and check that out. Clara said, planning outfits for every day of a vacation.
This is Clara, our mother. I should also mention.
All right.
So I can picture her doing that.
Hi, Mom. She is always impeccably dressed. Always.
She specifically said matching accessories with each outfit, like down to the accessories.
Wow. You could tell.
Caitlin says her sport is buy nothing groups, which is just a whole world unto itself. And we are actually going to feature secondhand sources in an upcoming episode. So please share your secondhand tips and strategies with us. If buy nothing groups, thrift stores, or yard sales are your sport, we want to hear about it.
And thank you again for all of your suggestions. We love reading them.
All right, let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll share our peaks and valleys. And we are back with peaks and valleys, because in life, there are always peaks and valleys. This week, Azizi is up first with a peak.
Yes. So my peak is, it's my spring break. Yay.
Yay. You made it.
I made it. I made it. I think I've been talking about it, or at least I've been venting to Malika that I've just gotten through one of the most intense, challenging parts of my work year. And it's always that way predictably at this time. So I knew it was coming. But then when I was in it, it feels so hard. There's a lot of late nights and early mornings and so much work to do. And so this spring break in particular, I just feel so grateful to get to have this time of rest and sort of gathering myself, finding inspiration to get through the next part of the school year and catching up on things I just haven't been able to do, you know, in the past few months. So grateful and excited to take a breath right now.
You deserve it. I'm happy for you, and I hope that you can have some true fun and also some deep rest.
Yes. And you just had yours, right?
I did. This is the end.
I'm sorry.
But it was nice. It was good. I enjoyed it.
You got some rest.
Yeah.
What's your valley, Malika?
So my valley has to do with organizing the closet. I did clean the closet, as we discussed. There's still a few kind of things that are not organized, like the socks. But I did a lot of the heavy lifting that I was really kind of dreading. Mm-hmm. And now I have this kind of sad closet feeling, which is that my closet is clean, but what's there? Like, I'm not excited about any of the clothes in there. I mean, I got rid of a lot of things or passed on a lot of things that weren't working or didn't fit. But the things I'm left with, there's no joy. There's no joy.
Oh,
that's like a much harder thing to deal with than the messy closet. It's like, oh, what is my style right now? What am I saying with my clothing choices? It struck this different chord I wasn't expecting.
Malika, I'm so sorry. First of all, you just glossed right over the part that you cleaned your closet, which is actually a peak.
Right.
You should be celebrating that you cleaned your closet. That's exciting. Good job. But then don't you wish there was like Stacey and Clinton
to
be hired to come and give you a credit card for $5,000 to take you shopping?
Okay, Azizi, I was totally thinking about what not to wear yesterday because... And this is since I've had this sad closet feeling, I've been thinking more about my clothes. And, you know, yesterday I noticed myself kind of hiking my pants up at several points throughout the day, which is what they would always feature in their hidden footage, you know, when they were... They were watching somebody that they were going to do a makeover. That was something they would always be like, oh, you know, nobody should ever be hiking their pants up, you know, as they get into their car. And I do that all the time, which means my jeans don't really fit or whatever, but I need Stacey and Clinton.
Oh, yes. We need like a Stacey and Clinton button we could just push. And they emerge from the ground. They just come out with the credit card and they whisk you away for 2 days in New York.
Because right? I want their rules too. Like I want their style rules for me and my body right now and the money too.
The money. I want the money. But it's the support and the expertise, but also the money. And, you know, I bet you could watch some old episodes and get some inspiration because it's classic. The shapes, the styles, it's timeless. So you should go and get some inspiration, watch a few episodes, see what happens.
That's a good idea.
Also, I feel like sad closet feeling should be a German word. Or at least a song title. I love that sad closet feeling. Our words I never thought would be together. I'll go shopping with you, Malika, the next time we're together.
Okay.
I would love to help you find your inspiration there.
Thank you. All right. Well, that brings us to the end. Azizi, let's leave on a happier thought. What are you going to try this week?
I'm going to think about the 20-year friend hack and maybe just coalesce around a few things to remember when I want to be my authentic self in a new situation. I really appreciated that. What about you, Malika? What are you going to try this week?
I am going to focus on true fun and just having more of it.
Good for you. That should be everyone's, what are they going to do this week?
Yes. Go have some true fun. All right. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you like us, rate, review, and tell a friend. And don't forget to follow us.
Send us a message at happierladies@gmail.com and tell us something you liked about Happier and Happier in Hollywood this week.
Our show was edited by Magnus Bjorgum, and our theme music was created by Wyatt Muncy.
And we also want to give a special shout out to Gretchen Rubin, Liz Kraft, and Sarah Fain for inspiring our conversation each week.
You can find us on Instagram @happierladies and on the web at happierladies.com, where you can find the show notes. All right, Azizi, have a happier week.
Have a happier week, Malika.
Bye.
Bye. Malika, do you want to get us started? Malika, do you want to get us started?